Good morning, everyone. So excited to have you back again on More Than Milestones. My name is Wendy McKenna, and we are here to help you boost your worry, boost your confidence, and have a blast raising your happy baby. I am so excited to have Ms. Kelly McQuaid here with us today, and she's going to help take us through this journey of from bump to birth and beyond in her area of expertise. Welcome, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks so much for being here today.
Anytime.
Awesome. So let's just dive right in. Can you just please tell a bit of your background and what space you work in and how you help support mamas in this awesome time of life?
Most definitely. One, I am a mom. And so that's why I kind of pursued this pathway of helping moms. But I am not necessarily an expert. I come this very from a mom based, but I work for a large laboratory and I happen to work in their genetics arm. And I deal with reproductive genetics and pediatric genetics. So I get to support moms and babies from conception to birth and postnatally. And I have a wonderful time doing it. But it can be a bit of a scary topic. So that's why I think in our conversations, you kind of wanted to chat about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because most of what we're talking about in this series is really the epigenetics of things, or the way that we nurture ourselves and our babies and how that affects. But really, this kind of gets into the hardcore genetic side of thing. And I know personally, when I went in for all my wellness baby tests and it was time to do those prenatal tests, I mean, there's a lot of worry and anxiety around that. So can you kind of talk about like, What parents are going through it? Yeah, go for
there
it.
Is. And at your first, it depends also on age, what they're going to offer you. But most people, when they go in for their visit, depending on what state you live in, there might be state regulations that kind of, there's a state program of sorts. California has one. And they'll draw these markers on you that are supposed to test for Down syndrome risk. Then also at your 8-week visit, they might offer you a cystic fibrosis test. Mm-hmm. And then also now, because of ACOG's recommendation, they might offer you an SMA test or a Fragile X. And SMA is spinal muscular atrophy, and Fragile X is another, it's a leading cause of intellectual disability in the country. And so those three are the most common they're going to offer you even at your 8-week visit. So you're kind of like, you come right in, and you're all of a sudden talking about all this stuff, and they might offer you something too called a non-invasive prenatal test, which is another option for you. So you kind of have all these options laid out and you're going, I don't know which is better. I don't know how to do this. What do I need to do? Yeah. And it's really difficult, and I get that. So one of the things that I would do is I would ask questions right away to your physician, mm-hmm. and ask who they go to ask their genetic questions and if you have access to those people. Mm-hmm. There are genetic counselors available everywhere in all states. So whether it's telegenetically or it's by phone or it's Skype, whatever you want, or in person, they're going to have someone for you to talk to about it and ask those questions. But real quick, I want to tell you a little bit, if you don't mind.
Yeah, oh, go.
Tell you a little bit. Okay.
Yes.
So cystic fibrosis, the reason that everyone tests for it, is because it does have different carrier risk based on your ethnicity, but it is very prevalent. And if you are a carrier, then if mom's a carrier and then me test dad and dad's a carrier, there's a 1 in 4 chance of you having a baby with CF. Mm-hmm. And a lot of moms are like, well, what does that mean to me? I wouldn't do anything differently anyway. Right. And what it means to me is it means that I'm going to pick my pediatrician differently because I want someone who knows exactly what to do with a CF baby. I also want the OBGYN to know, because at delivery, if we're having gastric distress or any type of CF is one of those diseases that has a lot of sticky mucus, and that can affect all parts of baby on delivery.
Yeah.
So you want everyone in the hospital to know that there's a 1 in 4 risk here. So if they see anything indicative of CF, they're going to test right there, and intervention starts that much sooner, which means healthier baby. Yeah. And it also means you now know that you have a residual risk score of 1 in 4 at every pregnancy you have. Mm-hmm. So you and your husband can then make decisions, or partner, whoever, can make decisions on what they want to do going forward. And it's called a recessive disorder as well. And that's the same thing with spinal muscular atrophy.
Okay.
Now, spinal muscular atrophy is different in the fact that it's pan-ethnic, which means that there's really no differentiator based on ethnicity. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, there is a tiny stratification. I shouldn't probably say that. But it's, on the whole, it's a 1 in 54 chance of being a carrier. And my personal story here was because I know too much, right? I made my husband get tested preconception. You know, he was like, what are you doing? I made him get tested for all these preconception, and we found out he was a carrier for spinal muscular atrophy. Mm-hmm. And it was very much something that I wanted to talk about with a genetic counselor, because I wanted to figure out what our risk was. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to figure out then what my children's risk was of being a carrier, and maybe they should get tested when they're of reproductive age.
Right. Yeah.
So it was, and that disease is all these diseases that we're talking about have really degenerative issues.
Yeah.
They are things that really require a lot of support, mm-hmm. time, energy, money, and resources. So that's why I think this is so important to talk about, because they're so scary, and you're already pregnant for the first time generally anyway, when they're offering you these tests, and you're like a first time mom, and you're going, oh, this is bonkers. Right. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know how to tell if this is, and I'm not going to do anything anyway about it. Or it really matters to me, and I need to know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
To make decisions for my family. So either way, you just really have to understand exactly what they're looking for and ask the questions that really, that matter to you specifically.
Yeah. And sometimes when you kind of go into a meeting where, you know, that kind of information comes up, I mean, I can just imagine right now, if I got tests back that weren't stellar, you know,
yeah.
being frozen over, like, where do I go from here? Like, what questions do I even ask? What options do I have? And for me, you know, those, you know, other than just knowing, there really was no other option.
Yeah.
It's just knowing. And so I know we talked a little bit before we got on here, but you were saying some things about, in terms of genetics, that you can kind of like hack them a little bit.
Well, this is what I always say, because people challenge me all the time on how do you, because I mean, no matter your religious beliefs or anything, everyone has their own way of dealing with the genetics issue. And for me, science and religion, or science and anything, are mutually exclusive. And a lot of people talk to me about, well, they're genetics. I can't outsmart them anyway, so why would I know?
Yeah.
And I, my response to that is truly, if you know that you're genetically predisposed or you have risk, mm-hmm. you can mitigate other risk factors to then outsmart genetics. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see a lot with hereditary cancer genetics. If you have the BRCA1 or 2 gene and you elect to get a prophylactic mastectomy or a hysterectomy, or like, that's outsmarting genetics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mitigating other risk factors to make sure you're not a candidate for cancer. Now, with reproductive genetics, what you can do is you can, I mean, truly speaking, if you and your husband are both carriers for SMA and you're really terrified of that 1 in 4 chance, you can elect to do IVF and do PGD, which is pre-implantation genetic diagnosis,
uh-huh.
for SMA. And then you can have a healthy pregnancy that way. Mm-hmm. You can also do amnios and check it out. You can also join support groups, talk to physicians who've dealt with people, talk to neonatologists who've dealt with kids in the PICU, which is the prenatal ICU, or the pediatric ICU, excuse me. So, but you can deal with all, you can have all those people in your corner. And when you have faith in your team, it really allows you the freedom to enjoy your pregnancy and to be the mom to whatever situation you've been handed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the cool part about what I do, is because I want to help moms be the best moms they can, from the time they find out they're pregnant through as long as they need support. And where I come into the mix is I deal mostly with the physicians,
uh-huh.
but I have a network of genetic counselors, and there are networks of genetic counselors everywhere you are. And I think they're the most underrepresented people.
I never knew about genetic counselors, honestly, because I did the happy dance every time I got those prenatal tests back because the numbers were good.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
where do you go to find genetic counselors?
you ask your doc, because your doc has people they work with. Also, most of the perinatologists, which are the maternal fetal medicine, high risk pregnancy doctors, mm-hmm. have them. And some of them are also clinical geneticists themselves. So they can actually be a really good resource. And a lot of them are places, if you're at advanced maternal age, a lot of those places, they sent me there to go get my nuchal for my second pregnancy and my anatomic screen. Mm-hmm. And so I had a perinatologist in-house with me. And then I had a genetic counselor in an office around the corner. So it was perinatology groups are really set up that way. So utilize them, especially if you're nervous and if you get those results. And they're most likely, if you get a result that's not favorable, they're going to refer you to one anyway.
Okay.
And that perinatologist is then going to guide you in the genetic counseling fashion to really see where they need to take you. Because the last thing we want to do too is throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and see what sticks. If you test anyone long enough for anything, you probably find something. So I think that they want to do what's prudent, what's right for your family, mm-hmm. you know, and really what's right for that pregnancy, because every pregnancy is different. And as you know, you had pregnancies before and after you were 35, and so did I. And so it was like, okay, now what does this mean for me? Mm-hmm. And advanced maternal age, they might send you to the perinatologist regardless, just because you're of advanced maternal age. Mm-hmm. So I want moms not to get scared of perinatology, like use it. Because some of the soft markers, like what also I want to say too about NIPT testing and the California state program or things like that, those are all screening programs. Oh, sorry. Those are all screening programs. So none of those are diagnostic. And so there's never a positive or negative. There really isn't. It's more of a risk factor. So I just wanted to let, like, even though the result may say positive or negative or aneuploidy suspected or something like that on a result, it really doesn't carry over to diagnosis. These are all screening tests.
Okay.
So if you get something unfavorable on a screen, it's really important to involve your perinatologist because they're the ones who are going to do the diagnosis.
Got it.
If that's the direction you choose, you could just say, you know, that's not the case. And that's not what I want. Mm-hmm. And if you do find, go ahead.
In most cases for the diagnostics, is it an amnio?
Amnio, or because now we have the non-invasive prenatal testing, which can be done as early as 9 weeks. Mm-hmm. CVSs are done more regularly.
Okay.
And CVS
is a
biopsy of your placenta, pretty much. They take a little bit of your placental tissue and they test that.
Okay.
And there are designated people who do CVSs in the perinatology offices and amnios, and they do them routinely. This is not something to be scared of. They will go over risk with you and then you choose. The good thing is that the mom, you drive the boat.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to go right, you don't have to go right. You know? So I just, that's the good thing. Yeah. But don't be nervous about it. All this seems really big and it's really hard to kind of get your arms around it. But what it really is knowledge and information is power. And that's all. And it gives you the power to nurture in all the wonderful ways you guys talk about on these summits. Mm-hmm. I am 100% a fan of these summits and teaching moms how to be confident in what they do, because I have had those really horrible, unconfident moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, those panic moments. There's resources out there for everybody.
Yeah. And one of the big themes of this is building that village around you before you hit the crisis moment.
100%.
So
100%.
Yeah.
There is one other thing too in this. Let's say you do get back something and I just really bad. Okay. And the baby most likely might term, you know, or you might deliver early and it's not viable. The reason that I think genetics are so good in that respect is because we can give moms space with their baby. If they decide to carry to term or anything, we can give moms space with their baby to really make it a magical time for them and their families. And we can have, if they're whatever denomination of religion they are, you can have a religious clergy there. You can have family, a newborn photographer, rather than like life-saving interventions where, you know, that aren't necessary.
Yeah.
And on the really hard stuff, that's where being a mom, that's again where choice comes in, and you get to have that choice. And like, there's something really magic about being able to help create that for somebody. And the genetic counselors, your physicians, your hospitals, they will do that for you. Mm-hmm. Being a mom is the only time you get to elect what hospital you go to, what pediatrician you get to do, and what this you get to do. So make those choices that really feel good in your gut.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, no, yeah. I totally agree with that. And having that knowledge ahead of time too. So I know most of the people who are going to be listening are probably already pregnant or getting ready to birth, but you know, what is your recommendation for people just to kind of get their genetic screening beforehand?
Well, ideally, it'd be great to have people who decided to get pregnant wanted to do preconception genetic testing. And what they would do is you would actually make an appointment with the genetic counselor. So you would contact your OBGYN and say, I'm really interested in preconception counseling. Cause my partner, or husband, and I are starting to think about having a family, and we'd really like to do this because, you know, and so then you'd meet with the genetic counselor. They'd probably go through a 3-generation pedigree of your families on both sides. And it's kind of funny because when you think about your family tree, I always forget somebody. And I had no clue that I had Fragile X in my family until I sat down with a genetic counselor. And I was like, oh my gosh, I completely forgot that my cousin had Fragile X.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I would never have asked for that test if I wouldn't have sat down with someone and gone through my family tree.
Yeah.
So they can do that with you. And then they'll make recommendations based on what they think you like and what also you really want. Because you may not be indicative of, you may not have family history of Fragile X or SMA, but you're like, hey, I'd really like to do that. Mm-hmm. Or you may want to test for alpha or beta thalassemia, or, you know, any one of these things that you could have something in your family. Noonan's is something that people are testing a lot for now. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a lot of things that it just really is personalized. And so go to a genetic counselor, sit down with them, go through your family history, see what you need to have, and then identify what you want as well.
Yeah.
Which is NIPT generally. Yeah.
Well, it seems too that even if you are pregnant right now and your tests come back fine, that it would still behoove you just to know.
That's another thing. I mean, for me, I want to know because I want my kids to know so that they can be more directed. I mean, by the time my kids have babies, we'll probably be able to, like, you know, snap.
Know. It's all going to be different by the time they're ready.
And it gets, like, their full genome, right? But science moves a lot faster than we do, but I really think the knowledge. So let's say you don't know you're a carrier and you got lucky for CF or SMA and you got that 75% chance you won't have a baby with that. But that next time, you might not be that way. And I heard from a mom last year at one of our meetings who, her kid got diagnosed with CF. She has 3 other gorgeously healthy children, but she didn't know it was a 1 in 4 chance every time.
No. Okay.
And she got really lucky, but in the same respect, there's a mom locally where I live here who's got 4 CF babies because every time she got that 25% chance marker. And she didn't know that it was 1 in 4 every pregnancy. She just thought it was 1 in 4. I got my one.
Oh, yeah.
And so I understand those things. It's just, it's really good to know. And also, once you know it, you can beat it, like I said.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Oh, I hear a little one.
he heard me in my home office. So
it's no, all good.
Not love.
He can come say hi if he wants to.
Can you wait for me inside, love? You know. The joys of having work.
Well, that's the thing is that we boss moms at home, you know,
you just got to roll with it.
You got to roll with the punches. There are very real moments here.
I knew there was like a 70% chance that would happen. So
well, of course, it could be higher than that. I can tell you, as soon as we started, my daughter actually walked in and there, she left me a note. Oh, she left me a cookie. Oh my goodness. Thank you for so much for being the best black belt mom. We love you.
Okay, that is cool.
He brought me a cookie.
Okay, that is the coolest thing ever. And
it's so
are kind of amazing.
I didn't even look at her because I was just introducing you, and I kind of waved her out, like, get out. And she left this amazing cookie. They made cookies. Here's my cookie.
That is so cute. I love it. You gotta have those good mom moments, even when we're talking about crazy stuff.
God, the crazy stuff. Absolutely. So, no, I love that we're talking about this. I love that you are in this space helping moms get through it because the energy that you have about it is so positive and uplifting, but I can't help but sit here and just have it feel kind of heavy on me.
Yep.
How do you help mamas get, how do you help them through this?
Well, I mean, I think that a lot of it, for me, when I do get to help patients, which it's more rare just because I normally put them with the counselors who put them with every resource that we need to have, mm-hmm. but, and the physicians really help. But I have to say that when I do get to interact with patients on a patient level, I find resources in the area and give them people to call. I also strongly encourage them to seek a therapist mm-hmm. to really bounce things off of someone who's not in your family, who's not your mom, who's not your aunt. Because everybody, as you know, when you're pregnant, everyone who's done it before wants to tell you everything about their pregnancy. And your pregnancy really, if you're getting scary stuff, your pregnancy really isn't their pregnancy. And everything is different. Mm-hmm. And that you need someone who's just going to sit in it with you mm-hmm. and is going to sit through the grief that comes along with it. And that's also going to get you a plan of action mm-hmm. because a plan of action helps you flip it.
Yeah.
And also when you talk to other moms, you'll hear the joy that they have and you'll hear the stories of a mom with kids with Down syndrome who have their life has changed yeah. because of it. Mm-hmm. And it's so better. And the kids and their other siblings are better people because of it.
Yeah.
You hear stories about life-changing moments all the time with people with genetic abnormalities. Mm-hmm. So I think really it's about grief. You have to sit in it a little bit, allow yourself that time, but then kind of give yourself a kick in the pants and create a plan of action. And that's what being a mom is. Like, right? We sit in it for a minute, but we really don't have time to get too upset because we have stuff to do. We have carpool to drive. We have dinner to make.
Yeah.
And the best mom you can be is a mom who takes action for her kids. And that's what we all try to do, like right away. And I think that that's what genetics offers. It offers you to be able to not sit and wait.
I love that. I love that. You know, and, yeah. and for me, I mean, and you know what I do, you know, in my space as a pediatric physical therapist, you know, I get to work with these kids.
Yeah.
I have the opportunity. And one of the reasons I went into this field and into this space is because of we all need a village around us, no matter what. But when you have a child who has special needs, you need a village even more.
Yeah, you do.
But what ends up happening is that these moms, once they get through the initial, and dads too, but once they get through the initial grief and moving forward, the network and the community of advocates that they have for themselves and their kids is so incredibly strong that having kids, for me, like I have, some of mine have, they all have a little bit of special needs on their part, but not compared to the kiddos that I see in my clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I don't have for myself and my kids the type of network that my families have around
100%.
Them. 100%.
Yeah.
And I, these kids, they are my kiddos. I call them my kiddos. They are my kiddos. And we celebrate every little step forward. And we have tears and, you know, and the step backwards, we have tears, you know, but it is like this huge, big family that they have created for themselves. And I just feel so honored to be let into that family circle for so many of these families. And it's just, it's being just one part of that puzzle for them and see everything else that these moms have been able to create for themselves and their little one is just, it's mind-boggling.
That's why I call all the moms I work with, I tell them all the time, I'm like, you guys are warriors. We're all warriors. And it's amazing being a warrior mom. Like I feel fierce all the time because I know that I'm trying all the time. Mm-hmm. And when you try, even if you step wrong, you know, and that's the thing about special needs kids. When they bring so much to your life, the cool part is what you're doing is you're creating the village for moms who don't necessarily have those special needs kids, but all you said it before, all of our kids have special needs.
Yeah, they all do.
And, yeah. And well, they're genetically mine. So of course they probably have some.
Yeah.
So,
I can't tell you how many times I tell my husband, I'm like, that came from you. Oh, that came from me. Like,
no, it's really, it's fun to kind of see that. And then you see that, I mean, with all the talk of, you know, of the special needs kid, what we also want to say is there's some stuff that are completely surmountable. I met a 15-year-old who's on the varsity basketball team already, who's got CF. It's these, a lot, some of these things are death sentences, but early intervention is key. Mm-hmm. And it's also, again, creating the village. I mean, we couldn't say it any more times probably, which is, but I do think that also, I mean, even let's talk about pediatrics for a minute. So pediatric genetics, frontline testing for kids with autism spectrum disorder, a lot of them, they'll offer what's called a microarray. Uh-huh. And it's done off saliva, so no poking, no blood draws for your kids. But they'll map the entire genome and be able to look for any possible genetic causes mm-hmm. for any type of autism spectrum disorder. Mm-hmm. And that's super cool. Now, granted, not all of it's there.
Right.
But it's a front line, because then if you know that if it's a genetic issue, again, you don't spend thousands of dollars and time trying to figure out what you already know, you just get going on your village.
Right.
And so that's like, there's no ending to genetics. It's, and especially as you know, I mean, you see the commercials every night for probably 23andMe for Christmas. They're like, give you a gift of genetic testing. Yeah. And you're like, and you, or you see the ancestry.com where like some guy starts in a kilt and ends up in lederhosen. So genetics is on your TV every day. I think it's just a matter of really understanding that all it's doing is giving you knowledge and power, and that's it. Everything is scary. I mean, driving with your kids in the car is scary, because when I became a mom, I saw the roads differently. You know,
yes.
I saw the world. I saw the news differently. Mm-hmm. I have to be very protective of what I watch, because it really affects me as a mom. Mm-hmm. And I think that's again, that's all about the changes in your life. But genetics is just a scary thing that you can, but it's not scary. I don't want to say it's like, it seems scary, but really it's just one more piece of the puzzle that gives you the best tools to be the best mom you can be mm-hmm. and a warrior mom. And that's it. And I've never met cooler warrior moms than the ones that I've seen who've surmounted the obstacles that genetics have provided. And that really, to me, is like the heart of the matter. It gives me goosebumps. So
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
It's, I don't even know how better to say it than warrior mom. I think that's just a perfect phrase. And I thank you for bringing that up and sharing that. Because that's what we are, you know, and again, one of the themes here with that in mind is, yes, we need to be strong, and yes, we get to be strong, and we are strong, even when in your weakest moment, when you feel not worthy and not, you are strong. And you just have to know that. But then again, another one of the themes for this summit is having fun with all of it, you know? And so understanding what you talked about and having like information is power, and, you know, you can build this up, you know, there's place for fun in this too, because it can, I mean, however you want to approach it. And, you know, if you do end up needing to see or wanting to see a counselor, you know, approaching it from the point of like, okay, I've got this, like I get more information, I get to go forward and bring the positive energy with it versus the, I'm scared, I'm fearful, I don't want to go there.
Well, and counselors, what they do is they're going to assess too, not only if you already have something wrong with this pregnancy, they're going to tell you your residual risk, so you don't think you never have to have kids again.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to tell you this was a totally 1 in 20,000 chance that this happened, and I'm so sorry it happened to you, but you can have more babies.
Yeah.
You know, they can tell you those things. They're magic people. I honestly think that if people are looking for careers, genetic counselor. I have a bunch of magic people that I work with, mm-hmm. and they do the most amazing things for patients every day in clinic. And people generally that don't utilize them are just people that are scared, and they just don't know what it is. Yeah. And so I strongly urge you to research genetic counseling online. They do, if you type in probably search for a genetic counselor, they will put you in touch with people. you can go, you know, I'm sure you can message Wendy through the summit if you need any, if you have question or, and, you know, I could, you know, give you some information. I think that there's, I think really over, I think the most disheartening thing about my job is people that don't utilize those genetic minds to help them through this process. Even if you're healthy and you're just 35 and they just started offering you the sun, the moon, and the stars in testing because you're 35. I think it's worth it to go to a GC, which is what I like to call them, and chat with them about what works for you. Because you may not want it all. And you may want it all. You may be a knowledge seeker. I was the annoying one who wanted it all. So, so I was that mom.
Yeah, we all get to be whatever mom we are, you know, but again, having that information, it gives you the option of making informed decisions and choices, which obviously gives you more power over what you're going through. So
100%.
I love it. All right. Any final moments before we sign off, my dear?
No, I'm just, speaking of warrior mom, congrats on your black belt, my friend.
Oh my gosh. All right. Yeah. Yes, everyone, I am now a black belt in Taekwondo. I just found out a week ago that I passed my test. So yeah, this is part of my self-care. I talk about self-care, that you should be doing it. And so, you know, I am doing it too. And this is one of the things that, that I do. And yeah, I did my test. I passed it. And I am now black belt.
Woohoo!
Thanks, Kelly, for that, that little plug. I love you, girl.
Talk to you later.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I will have Kelly's information underneath, and then you can also connect with me as well. So we will figure out the best way to get a lot of your, any of your questions, comments answered about this, because I know that this is probably going to be a hot topic for a lot of you. So I'm so glad to have had you, Kelly. Thank you for being here today.
Anytime.
Awesome. All right, you guys, have a beautiful rest of your day. Can't wait to see you again tomorrow. Have an amazing one. Okay, bye, everyone.
Bye.